Broadcasting live from the Cobb Business Radio X studio, it's time for the Business, Babies, and Beauty Radio Show, brought to you by Airbender.
Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in to the Business, Babies, and Beauty Radio Show. I'm your host, Shanda Cadet, creator and founder of Business, Babies, and Beauty. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I got three jobs, and I'm a wife, and most importantly, I'm mother to six beautiful children. I created my company to help motivate and inspire women to balance it all. I mean, if I have six kids, if I can do it, I think everybody can do it. Do whatever it is that you put your mind to doing. Help you balance it all, business, babies, and beauty. On today's show, I have a very special guest, Tamiko Laurie Pugh. Also known as the Empowering Diva, speaker, best-selling author, empowerment specialist, and founder of the Still Standing Foundation. And if you didn't know, now you know. Thank you, Tamiko, for being here with me today. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So let's just dissect all of this good stuff. Empowering Diva, best-selling author, empowerment specialist, founder of the Still Standing Foundation. Okay, like, where are you from and how did you just evolve to all of this goodness?
Okay, so there's a story behind this. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm originally from Buffalo, New York. I've been living in Atlanta since 1998.
Wow.
But how I became the Empowering Diva and how all of this stuff manifested was really because of a painful situation that I went through. I'm a survivor of domestic violence. And one of the things that I always thought I was going to do was rise to the top in corporate America.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I was like, I'm going to rise to the top and I'm going to become the head manager and have my office in Buckhead on the 42nd floor overlooking the city of Atlanta. But God had a different plan.
Yeah.
And little did I know that that very thing that hurt me the most going through domestic violence would be the thing that called me into my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never thought that I would be an inspirational speaker or a best-selling author.
Mm.
But because I decided to step out and share my story, things kind of turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the corporate executive that I thought I was going to be. I am the Empowering Diva.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. So sometimes while we're going through our struggle, our battle, we're just thinking like, oh my goodness, I cannot see the light. But for me, I see it different now. Every bad thing that I go through, or every, I won't say bad thing, but just like hardship that I go through, I'm like, okay, this has got to be, there has to be a reason why I'm going through.
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. And I always tell people, you know, whatever that thing is that you're going through, ask yourself, what is the blessing behind this?
Mm-hmm.
Or what is the lesson behind this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what was your situation? What was your hardship that you went through?
The hardship was domestic violence. My hardship was going through a marriage where I was just torn and just beaten mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and to the point where I was just a broken soul. Like, I had no idea who I was anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that thing that just really broke me. And I had to put the pieces back together and mm-hmm. rebuild my life and walk into my season of being a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I chose to do. I chose to turn that pain into purpose and to try to make a difference in society.
Mm-hmm. So, like you said, you thought that you were going to be in corporate America. So you came to Atlanta to, or you
No, I was already here.
In Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you went to college. You got your degree. What happened?
So, when I left New York, mm-hmm. I had already graduated college.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit older than people think I am.
Hey, you look amazing.
Yes, I graduated high school in 93.
She looks like she's about 27.
So I turned 40 this year. So this is my year of fit and fabulous at 40.
Hey.
But so yes, graduated from Buffalo State College in mm-hmm. Buffalo, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Moved here in 98. And then that's where the transition took place. I met someone that I thought was the man of my dreams mm-hmm. and ended up being my worst nightmare. But mm-hmm. that's what got me to where I am today.
Okay. So and domestic violence, describe that. Is it physical, emotional, like you said, spiritual? Like,
Yes.
Break it down.
It is all those things. And so when we think about domestic violence, people usually think of a person being hit physically. Mm-hmm. But it's so much more than that. That's why a lot of women don't understand that they are victims. It is verbal abuse. It's emotional abuse. It's mental abuse. And it's even spiritual abuse. Mm-hmm. And some of the signs of like emotional abuse or verbal abuse, if a person is constantly tearing you down, mm-hmm. Saying things that hurt your feelings, anything that a person does to you to maintain power or control over you, it's a form of abuse. Mm-hmm. Just like bullying, it's mm-hmm. a form of abuse.
I thought about that. When I think about domestic violence, I think about somebody's just bullying you.
And that's what it is.
They think that they have all the power and all the control.
Yes.
What makes them think that?
You know what? And I think for different people, it's different. It could be something they experienced as a child. For some people, and in my situation, it was just control. Mm-hmm. It was really to make him feel control because of his own insecurities. Mm-hmm. And so to make me feel like I was less than I really was made him feel good. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way I look at it. But for some people, it's something they dealt with as a child. Maybe they were bullied. Mm-hmm. And so now as an adult, they think it's okay to bully their spouse mm-hmm. or their significant other. And mm-hmm. that makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm. So in going into the relationship, you were strong, beautiful, ready to get married. Now, how do you look at somebody and know that they're going to be like a domestic, like they're going to domestically abuse you?
You know what? You really just don't know. But I will say this, there are signs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes as women, we look at those, we see the signs, but we think, oh, well, you know, maybe he's having a bad day or something like that. But for me, my ex was very charming. He was extremely charming, extremely nice. I felt like he wanted the best for me. So I mistook him, not wanting me to hang around certain people as him mm-hmm. really being concerned about me. Mm-hmm. And then it came to him picking out my clothing and I thought, oh, he just wants me to, you know, look a certain way, but it was control. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize it early on. Within 3 months, he knew he wanted to marry me. And so sometimes, you know, we're like, oh my gosh, this is too much. He wants to take care of me. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't have to work. He wants to marry me. It's been like 3 months. That's a sign. Mm-hmm. If a person is that eager to it's control. Mm-hmm. And so he saw an opportunity, where he kind of played on my weakness because mm-hmm. we're all looking for our Prince Charming.
Absolutely. Okay. Wow. And so then so 3 months later,
so
you married?
Well, we talked about it. We got married less than a year later.
Okay.
Less than a year later. The abuse started early, not the physical, mm-hmm. but the emotional abuse, the verbal abuse started very, very early, literally maybe a month or two before the wedding, mm-hmm. where, you know, he would just say mean things to me like, oh, you ain't all that, or just things that would really hurt my feelings. And right. I was like, man, well, maybe he's just stressed out. We're about to get married. We just bought this house. And mm-hmm. then, you know, we were merging two families, my children and then his children. You know, he had part-time visitation. So I figured he was kind of just a little stressed out. Mm-hmm. Just excuses, though. We make up excuses.
Right, right. We do. And then fast forward, you were like, okay, look, this is too much.
Fast forward 4 years later, I was at a point where I was just completely broken. I didn't know who I was anymore. I'm a very fun, bubbly person. I lost it. You know what I mean? People would look at me and say, Tamiko, you're different. You're smiling, but it's not that smile that we're used to. Mm-hmm. And I was very secluded from people because I just was uncomfortable being around people. I didn't want to look you in the eye because I thought that they would know something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I got really sick. I began to take, just Tylenol because I would have migraines all the time. I was just stressed out from the relationship. And so my liver began to fail. I had high blood pressure. Just so much was happening to me physically mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. of a person.
Right.
And I was like, it's time to go. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. And so I had to literally plan like my escape.
And I hear that a lot because for me, I'm thinking, okay, well, if somebody's, you know, if somebody's hitting you and abusing you or why don't you just leave? Why don't you just go?
It's not always that easy. Mm-hmm. So I will give you a few examples of why women don't leave.
Okay.
One of the things is your abuser will do everything possible to make you feel like the abuse is your fault. And so at some point you're like, you know what? Well, maybe I do deserve this or maybe I did something wrong. And so you're always trying to fix it. Well, maybe if I love him a little bit more and if I cook dinner for him, you know, his favorite meal, or if I iron his clothes and, you know, we think we can fix certain things. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons. The other thing is finances. For me, it was finances. Because once we were married, he was like, well, you don't have to work. You can do your real estate, you know, part time if you want to. And so I didn't really have the money.
Right.
And I was like, who's going to take care of me and my kids? So that was the other thing. And then fear. You know that that person is going to do something to hurt you if you try to leave.
Mm-hmm.
In my situation, he had a gun. And he would clean the gun in front of me, letting me know, hey, I have this gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he slept with it under the pillow a lot of nights. And, you know, I was afraid.
Yeah.
And that day that I did decide to leave was the day that he tried to take my life.
Oh, my.
Like, he literally... we were in the car, and I thought I was just all big and bad. Like, I'm leaving you today. And he was like, oh, I will kill both of us. And we were in the car. I was driving, and he began to hit me and just, like, fight me like I was Mike Tyson, literally. And I was driving, and somehow I ended up on the side of the road. We ended up on the side of the road, and that's when he started to just hit me. And I remember kind of being choked. I don't remember the whole thing because mm-hmm. I think I passed out.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember when I woke up. I was in the middle of Interstate 85
mm-hmm.
with cars swerving around me, blowing the horns, literally trying not to hit me. And someone saw what happened. So by the time I got up, the police were coming. And then they arrested him. And that is the day that I became a survivor. I didn't go back.
You did not go
That's
back.
That's the day that I had to figure out, okay, now what's the next step? Because mm-hmm. now that you've survived that, the journey is long mm-hmm. to healing
mm-hmm.
and really picking up the pieces to rebuild yourself as a person.
Wow. So what would you say today, like for somebody who's listening right now, who's going through what you went mm-hmm. through and really just, like you said, needs to have a plan. What would you tell them?
You definitely have to have a plan. One thing that I always tell women is when you decide to leave, don't tell your abuser.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to call somebody that's a professional to help you put together a domestic violence safety plan. Catered to your needs. And my organization, the Still Standing Foundation, we do that. We help people to put together domestic violence safety plans, because if you don't, you can put yourself in danger, your children in danger. And so you want to make sure that you can leave safely, not mm-hmm. like I did and get big and bad and say, I'm leaving you, because they've lost control at that point.
Mm-hmm. Now, had you ever said that to him before? Like, I'm going to leave you.
I said it, but he knew I wasn't. This day, I think he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He knew.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times when I said, oh, I'm leaving you. I hate you. And you know, it was just an argument back and forth. Whatever, you ain't going nowhere. Don't nobody want you. You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this day, he knew I was serious
mm-hmm.
because I was bold. You know, I had just got bold and I was courageous. And I was like, I'm leaving you today.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, okay, we'll see about that. So the one thing I do tell women is do not tell your abuser you're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Plan it out.
And call someone. Now, let me ask you, like, during the whole time, do you talk to friends about it? Do you tell your mom, your dad, your brother, sister? Like,
okay, so my best friend knew mm-hmm. what I was going through. Other than that, nobody really knew.
Do you have brothers?
I do.
Okay.
They live up north. I just didn't tell anybody. And yeah. I was so embarrassed. Like, I was like the... You know, in high school, I was supposed to be the person that was the most successful and running for me at Miss Teen USA and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm not supposed to go through this.
Yeah, I understand.
But it's okay. Like, I realize that now. And so I tell women now, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. I'd rather see you safe than harm come to you and your children. So all that ego that's embarrassed, put that aside. Tell somebody.
Mm-hmm. And you had children.
Yes. From a previous relationship. So when I married him, I came into that relationship with two kids.
Okay. Like, do they see the domestic violence?
So he was very, very, man, they didn't see, they knew I was sad all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that, man, mommy's always sad. And we had this huge 7-bedroom home. And so we were kind of secluded. They were like on the third floor.
Okay.
And our master bedroom was on the first floor. So they were like, and now they realize that it was a form of isolation. You know, when you're little or, you know, the ages that they were, preteen, they were like, oh, we got the third floor to ourselves up here. You know, we got a living room. You know, we live in the good life. But now that they think about it, they were like, we were isolated from you. We weren't allowed to come down and see you because I would be crying. So they didn't see it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they knew that I was sad all the time. They saw a few times when we would argue. There are just so many incidents. There's one time where he drugged me outside naked and I had to hide in the bushes and my kids had to open the door and let me in. They do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just little incidents.
Yeah. Every time I hear about domestic violence, I mean, everybody has a story. And just when you said that, I can remember that happening to my neighbor once. Her husband used to do that to mm-hmm. her all the time. And I, even in my household, it wasn't my dad, it was mm-hmm. my mom. You know, they would fight a mm-hmm. lot. And so I would see them fighting all the time. And so when I got into a relationship, prior to my husband, I can remember being in the car, like you said, in the car, and we were arguing, going back and forth. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he just hits me and my head goes into the window. And then for about 10 seconds, I thought, did he just hit me? And then I just lost my mind. Like, we were in the car, like on the highway, and I took every part of me that could move, my feet, my hands and everything. And I was just fighting with him. And he started thinking, he's like, are you crazy? No, are you crazy? You just hit me. That's the last, that would be the last time that you hit anybody. If this was your first time, this is your last time. So he didn't try it again. But I mean, and I, all I could remember was seeing, I mean, in my head, my mom.
Wow.
When she would be fighting my dad, I'd be like, okay, this is what I have naturally. This is what I have to do. So I'm assuming that men go through it as well. Men go through being domestically abused
they
as well.
Do.
I don't want to call my mama an abuser, but I saw her going in. And that's
I
what...
saw that too. Like, I've seen my mom, like, disrespect her boyfriends and hit them with the phone. And
yeah.
Like, man, but I thought she was tough. I was like, man, my mother don't play.
Exactly. And so at that point, that's what I was thinking, like, wait a minute, did he just hit? Okay. And the flashback, all I seen was my mom, and I just went in. And but for someone who, I mean, it's just who can't fight back or doesn't want to fight back, is there like a fear of fighting back? Or is like, well, this is a man you're fighting, you never know. I mean, he's stronger, tougher, might just get knocked out. You know, you just never know.
Yeah, I think it's just the fear of this man is bigger than I am. And it wasn't. So for me, there are women who go through domestic violence and they're just constantly beaten. I wasn't beaten like that. But it's not to say that my situation was not that bad. Mm-hmm. But any type of abuse is bad.
Right.
Is horrible. But for me, I was strangled a lot. He would choke me until I thought, OK, I'm about to die. Like, literally, I would feel myself getting weak. And then he knew just when to let go. And I don't know if you guys know that strangulation just became a felony in the state of Georgia. It used to be a misdemeanor.
Oh, wow.
And so last year, there's this huge event every year, Stop Violence Against Women Day. And we were protesting to make strangulation a felony. And I was able to speak in front of the state legislators, in front of the governor, you know, all the politicians, and tell my story and give them reasons why it needed to be a felony. And last year, April, they passed a bill to make it a felony in the state of Georgia.
There you go. You did.
And
that.
Here's the thing, what people don't understand about strangulation, if I shake your hand, that's about 8 pounds of pressure. It only takes 4 pounds of pressure to strangle a person to death.
Wow.
So that's how serious strangulation
is,
and people don't understand that. One of the things I had to do after I went through that situation, you know, of course, prayer and saying, God, why did I have to go through this? I started to learn about domestic violence and learning the laws. And so then I became an advocate and really wanted to learn the laws and, okay, well, why is this a misdemeanor? And why would this get thrown out? And so I started calling the legislators saying, hey, strangulation should be a felony, you know, and I started learning about this stuff. And so I just really educated myself on the topic of domestic violence.
That is great. So what can I tell my daughter? Because I know when I was my daughter's age, I saw what I saw. And then when somebody tried me, I fought back. But what is it? And I talk to her now and I tell her, but what can I tell her, like, about, listen, if somebody hits you, what do you do? Do I tell her hit them back, or do I tell her just, you know, like, what?
You want to know my real answer?
Yeah, I do. I want to know your real answer.
Because the way I grew up, it was like, if somebody hits you, you hit them back.
Hit them back, right. And that's what I would tell her.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a full-on fight,
so,
but it's like...
And I even tell my daughter, because I learned self-defense after that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a certified self-defense instructor.
That's great.
So I'm like, well, you know where to hit. So...
Well, where do you hit? I can imagine.
So I tell my daughter all the time, you know what I mean? You know the techniques, you know what to do. Hit them enough where, hurt them enough so that you can run.
Okay.
So I think that all young girls need to learn self-defense, especially going into high school, going into college. Dating violence and date rape is extremely high on the college campuses. And so I encourage parents to allow their daughters to, even if it's a basic self-defense class that teaches them how to hit a person in a certain area or hit them in the chin or just certain areas that will kind of discombobulate them for a minute so you can run.
That's good. That's really good. So now you're an advocate. You're the founder of the Still Standing mm-hmm. Foundation. Tell us all about it.
So the Still Standing Foundation is a nonprofit organization that focuses on empowering victims of domestic violence to become survivors. And so our goal is to help women to rebuild their lives after abuse. So we have an empowerment program that meets, we do monthly conference calls because a lot of people from different cities want to be engaged. And mm-hmm. so that allows us to be able to reach people throughout the United States. So once a month we do our conference call and we talk about just different things about domestic violence. We might talk about putting together a domestic violence safety plan because you never know who's on the phone.
Right.
So people are still in those relationships. And then we have our quarterly meetups. So this past Sunday, we just had our quarterly survivor meetup where we just get the survivors.
The brunch. Yes. I saw that. Yeah.
And so nice. We come together. We just empower those women. They're survivors, but they need encouragement. They need to be around women who have survived and that they see them standing tall and they're still standing. And we just empower one another. You know, we do activities that are built around building your self-confidence. We might have somebody come in and talk about how to rebuild your finances. So just different things to create a sense of community so mm-hmm. they'll know, hey, I have someone that I can depend on, somebody that I can confide in. Mm-hmm. And we pair them up with a mentor. And so they always have someone that they can call if they're kind of feeling sad mm-hmm. or need somebody to talk to.
Because I imagine you get out of one, but then you just kind of never know if you're going to get back in another one. So you need that
yes.
support group.
Most women leave one abusive relationship and they go into another one because they haven't gone through that whole personal development, self-esteem, rebuilding my confidence. And so they attract the same type of people. Because mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer that you are what you attract.
Mm-hmm.
Or you attract what you are. Did I say that right? So, you know, if you have low self-confidence and low self-esteem and sometimes we inflict abuse on ourselves by having low self-confidence. And so we're attracting that same type of mate.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to invest in personal development. And it's not affordable all the time when you're coming out of those relationships. So we offer that to the women.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That is really good. And so you had your brunch and you have your conference calls and you wrote a book.
I did. So, and I never considered myself an author.
Mm-hmm.
I started telling my story a few years ago and just all of a sudden started getting all these speaking engagements. That's when I realized, okay, that this is God really turning my pain into purpose.
Yes.
Like people were like, oh, well, how much do you charge to come and speak? And I was like, what? I'm not a speaker. I'm just telling my story.
Mm-hmm.
But it became, not that it's a business, but it became my platform. So I guess it did become a business because now I speak on different topics. So Wounds to Wisdom, I'm Still Standing. This is my personal testimony of surviving domestic violence and discovering essential wellness principles to live a winning lifestyle. And the reason why I say essential wellness principles to live a winning lifestyle is because you want to win in life at everything that you do. And so not only do I tell my story, but I give basic principles, wellness principles, health and wellness, taking care of yourself, personal development to really build yourself up so that you can win.
Mm-hmm. That is great. Where can we find the book?
The book is at Barnes & Noble, and it's also on Amazon.com.
It is beautifully put together.
Thank you. And just never thought that I would be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on the second book, which will be released this year, mm-hmm. December, Wounds to Wisdom, the Survivor Series. So I have 12 women who are domestic violence survivors that are going to be sharing their stories in each chapter.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine you hear like all sorts of stories.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Just when you think your story is bad or, you know, really deep, you hear somebody else's story and you're like, wow, you know, I just meet so many courageous women. And is it okay if I mention the Purple Affair that we have coming up?
Absolutely.
So, we have our annual Purple Affair coming up, which is a gala that honors survivors of domestic violence. And we do a survivor spotlight. Excuse me. So we have three women who are in our survivor spotlight that just have these amazing, courageous stories. You know, one of the ladies, her husband shot her and her daughter in the head, but they lived through it. Another lady, her husband killed himself. And I want to say one of her children. I mean, just these horrific stories, but these women are still standing
right.
And they are ready to share their stories and their testimonies.
Wow. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, when I you never think it goes that far. You just think that, okay, me and my boyfriend are fighting mm-hmm. or me and my husband are fighting. And you know what? I'll say boyfriend because I'm Mm-hmm. Don't even think that when you marry somebody, you're going to be having to live through this.
Well, these women, the interesting thing is that their husbands never laid a hand on them.
Yeah.
Never laid a hand on them. But they knew, they were always afraid because mm-hmm. of the way he would talk to them. So that's why verbal abuse and emotional abuse is just as bad. It's a sign that, okay, it could get worse. Even though they've never laid a hand on them, they still had fear in them and they knew that something could possibly happen one day.
And that is bad. Like, you feel totally down and disgusted when somebody talks to you bad.
Yes.
And they verbally bash you and make you feel like you're nothing. I don't know which is worse.
I think the verbal abuse and the mental emotional abuse is worse
mm-hmm.
because even though that day that I decided to leave, and as bad as he hurt me and the bruises that I had, and I still have, when I look in the mirror, one of my tooth is, it doesn't have my front tooth. It doesn't have a nerve in it. And so it's getting discolored. But that doesn't bother me as much as the emotional and the verbal abuse. Like, I'll still hear him saying, "You stupid. Don't nobody want to hear what you got to say. You need to go sit down somewhere."
Mm-hmm.
You ain't all, like, I still hear that. And so I have to give myself positive self-talk and say, "No, Tamiko, you are amazing. You are great. You are a child of God." Like, I have to reaffirm myself all the time.
And which is very important. I talk to myself too.
And you have to.
You have to.
Even in my personal business with life coaching and speaking, sometimes I'll say, "Well, I'm not ready to release this program or I don't have the platform." And my husband now is like, "Excuse me?" He was like, "No, you have all that and more in you. Why do you self-doubt?" And it goes back to that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, "Man, I can't believe I'm still allowing this to hinder my growth." Mm-hmm. And so it is an ongoing process.
I know that.
I do not. People are like, "Oh, you have it all together." Honey, I have to get up every day and look in the mirror and be like, "Girl, you the bomb ziggity."
Right. And that is true. I remember talking to a friend of mine when I was getting into radio, and I'm like, "Well, you're in radio, so, you know, how do you do?" She was like, "Girl, you know, you really just have to talk to yourself and, you know, maybe not talk back." But when I'm thinking to myself, well, sometimes I answer back because it's like I have to tell myself, "You can do it. You know what? Yes,
yes
I can."
You can. Yes, yes, you have
so
to.
So I'm a firm believer in talking to yourself, mm-hmm. and especially as, like, public speakers.
Yes.
We gotta get it out because we need to hear ourselves and know what we're about to talk about. So there's a lot of in the mirror, in the bathroom, talking mm-hmm. to myself.
Good. That's good though. And some people think it's crazy. I'm
right.
Like,
it's not crazy anymore to talk to yourself. You should do that.
Yes.
But so that is awesome. And so the is purple. It's the color.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's the Purple Affair. It's an annual fundraiser. And the funds that we get, sometimes either we give them to a specific group or an organization or a person, or we use it for our survivor empowerment program, which allows us to do retreats and things like that for the women that go through our program. This year, we are actually giving the funds to partial proceeds are going to one of the young ladies that was a part of our program. She ended up being killed last November.
Oh, no.
And she has two young boys. They're under five.
It was due to domestic violence.
And her mother is taking care of the children. She's having a really hard time. And so we want to make sure that we're able to provide for her. She was a really big part of our program for the last 3 years. And we want to give a stipend to her mom,
mm-hmm.
who's taking care of her young boys. And we want to make sure that they have a good Christmas and a Thanksgiving. So they're like our adopted family mm-hmm. this year. So proceeds will go to that. But on a brighter note, the event is fun. Just because it's domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
it is fun.
Mm-hmm.
We have an awesome lineup of entertainment, performers, poets, comedy. We have George Franco from Fox 5 News, who's going to do our live auction.
Oh,
and he is
George.
Just awesome. He's really good. So mm-hmm. he's going to make it fun. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. We're going to do giveaways, purple carpet interviews.
There's
food.
A comedian coming.
So we have our comedian. She's local, comedian Ms. Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be performing.
It's always good to laugh.
We have Noel Gordine. I don't know if you guys remember him. He had a song back in the day called The River, R&B singer. So he'll be performing. We also have Lisa Left Eye's sister, Raindrop Lopez. So she's going to come, and her mom, Lisa's mom, will share their experience with domestic violence. And I think she's going to do a performance because she's like the queen of hip hop rap or something, or mm-hmm. hip hop rock. I'm sorry.
Rock.
Raindrop, but yes. So just
Raindrop. That's
yeah.
pretty.
So it's going to be, this is going to be a good night.
And so this is the fourth annual.
This is our fourth one.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So looking back at the first the first annual?
It's grown. Mm-hmm. I remember the very first one we did. We called it the Purple Party. I was like, I just want to do something purple. We were like, oh, come to the Purple Party. We had 10 women show up, mm-hmm. and we ended up just having dinner. And we gave all the survivors a gift bag. And then the next year it grew and we had it at the venue 595 North. Mm-hmm. We had R&B sing, the guy from Silk. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Like it's just grown every year. So we went from 10 to 50 to 75 to now over 100 guests.
That is awesome. And then you're just going to keep doing this.
Yes. Yes. This is going to be our annual event that we put all of our effort into every year.
That is awesome.
Yes.
So now how do you balance all of this? Being, a mom, a author, mm-hmm. just speaking engagements and the founder of the foundation. And just
balance is so important. Even for just, you know, if you're a woman, you're working a full-time job and you have a family and a husband, and you have to learn to balance everything. So I have learned to schedule. I have to stick to a schedule. So the night before, I have to write down everything I have going on the next day. But first and foremost is prayer and meditation. I have to make sure I put God first.
It's so important.
In everything, 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 everything. So I put God first. First thing I do every day is do my prayer and meditation, and working out. So I start my day prayer and meditation, and then I go to the gym. Mm-hmm.
I start my day with prayer and meditation, but I don't go to the gym.
It helps.
It definitely
gives you energy, though. People are like, oh, are you tired? Mm-hmm. It actually, for me, it gives me a little bit of energy.
Yeah.
So I get that in first thing in the morning. And the other thing that we do in my household is we are not allowed to have speaking engagements or anything work-related on Sundays, mm-hmm. because that's our time as a family to go to church and then spend time. That's our quality time on Sunday. So that's another thing that we've implemented that really helps us to keep balance. Mm-hmm. And God first, family, and then career.
Absolutely. I'd say the same thing. God first all the time, mm-hmm. family, and then business.
Yes.
So do you have any other businesses outside of this? I mean, just, or this is just...
That's pretty much it.
It's enough, right?
That is enough. I don't know if I can take on anything else. Right. So that's it. And then, of course, I help with my husband's business, which kind of, we kind of merge them together a little bit. He's also a speaker. He talks a lot about, he's a life coach to entrepreneurs. So he helps entrepreneurs to build their businesses and create balance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Me and your husband, like right here. This is what I do. Awesome. Also, because I have my three businesses, and mm-hmm. then there are a lot of women who are like, okay, well, how do you do all of that and have the mm-hmm. kids and the husband and I got a dog. Who does
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we have a dog and two birds.
Oh my goodness. Who just adds extra stuff on? And so I developed the Business Babies and Beauty is a platform for me to help other women mm-hmm. balance it all, as crazy as it is.
And I love it. I saw it a while ago and I was like, who's Business Babies? I was like, this is really cool. And so I have been following. Yeah, I think it's awesome.
Thank you so much. And what I love about this is that I'm able to highlight women like you mm-hmm. who do so many amazing things and who have survived. Let's not always be a victim. You cannot spend your years, waste your years being a victim, being fearful, afraid.
You just can't. I think if I would have still been in that victim mentality, first of all, it's not fun. I like to have too much fun.
Right.
Like literally, and people are like, oh, but you went through domestic violence. You don't look like it. Well, what should I like walk with my head down?
Right.
Like I've had enough of that. Oh, but I still put on my cute shades. No, but people think that you're supposed to look a certain way and act a certain way. Mm-hmm. So that's how I adopted the empowering diva. People are like, oh, you're just a little diva. Mm-hmm. You're like the survivor, just the diva empowering everybody. So then it was like, oh, the empowering diva. Mm-hmm. So that's how that kind of came along. Mm-hmm. I just like to see women empowered and happy and uplifted. You know what I mean? You can't allow your circumstance to determine your future.
That is so absolutely true. So let's see, we've talked about business, babies. How are the kids?
Okay, so they're like young adults. They both go to Georgia State.
Awesome.
So there's so much about me you'll find out in my book. But I was a teenage mom. And so I had my daughter when I was 17. And by the time I was 21, I already had two children. So at 40, I have a 19-year-old and a 23-year-old. But they both go to Georgia State. Dustin's getting ready to graduate, and Michael's a sophomore.
So a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Okay, business babies. Beauty, because you're absolutely beautiful,
diva. Thank you.
Can you give us any tips on how you remain pretty?
So here's the thing. Here's what And I always say this, beauty to me is established from the inside out. So you have to take care of your temple first and foremost. As I told you earlier, I turned 40 this year. And so this is my year of fit and fabulous.
She doesn't
40.
Look 40. Do you follow her? What is your Instagram? Go follow
it's
her.
At Empowering Diva.
Look at her.
So I totally believe that you have to take care of yourself from the inside out. Drink plenty of water, prayer and meditation. And get on some type of workout routine, because it'll resonate on the outside. Yes, it's okay to say, oh, she's gorgeous. She's beautiful on the outside, honey. I was always cute, but my insides were torn up. And so I'm just a firm believer that you have to take care of your inner temple first, and it'll resonate on the outside. And if you're already, I mean, it just enhances it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It just enhances everything. The other thing I said, water. Okay, so I don't. Of course, I say it from the inside out, but I love like a pop color lipstick. Like if I'm having a bad day, I like my Ruby Woo from MAC. Like wow, it just makes me like, if I put on red lipstick, I'm like, girl, I'm all that, and some sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Like that is just a very cheap way to look good. Mm-hmm. And then
like
my
it.
New favorite color is this black cherry that I'm wearing
it's
now.
It's pretty. It's pretty. It's
Thank
pretty.
You. Oh, and it makes your teeth look like really white. So.
You know, that is what red lipstick does, and like the darker ruby, like wine
yes.
colors they do. Back in the day, I used to wear it, and I just stopped all of a sudden and just started wearing lip gloss. But whenever I have my makeup done by my makeup artist, she'd be like, girl, you're gonna put this red on.
Yes.
I like it now. I don't have a problem with it.
I just started.
Yeah.
But I'm addicted.
Yeah.
Yes. I always wanted to say that. Okay. I'm like,
That is hilarious. Well, so let me see. What else can we talk about? And speaking of beauty, which is one of the reasons why when I went through the whole little incident I told you about. I'm thinking after he hit me and then all the extra stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm too pretty for this. Like, I didn't pack no gel to slick my hair back or no extra mascara and all of that. I can't do this.
Absolutely. Well, ladies, you are far too beautiful to allow a person to take away that beauty, your inner and your outer beauty, because that's what happens. So.
That's great. And I need to drink some more water. I feel like I only drink it when I come here. That's bad. Every Wednesday, that's not good. Okay, so give us some more information. We want to know where to get your book. We want to know how to follow you. Where are you speaking at next? What you doing tonight? Tomorrow.
Okay. So very quickly, you can follow me on all my social media platforms. Instagram, Periscope, and Twitter are all at Empowering Diva. You can follow me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TamikoLori and also the Still Standing Foundation. The main thing that we have coming up right now is our annual Purple Affair. And again, that is an annual fundraiser honoring survivors of domestic violence. That is on October 3rd of 2015. And the hashtag for that is #PurpleAffair2015, #ThePurpleAffair. So follow that hashtag to, you never know when we're going to give away a pair of free tickets or something like that. But
and so where are the tickets? How can we get the tickets?
You can get the tickets. Thank you so much. ThePurpleAffair.eventbrite.com. Right now we have about seven early bird discounted tickets available. After September 1st, the price does double. And so you want to go ahead and get those now. They're only $30, and that's super cheap for a fundraiser.
That
is what the price is right now. We have seven of those left. So go ahead and grab those. And when you get your tickets, take a post it on social media and put Purple Affair 2015.
That's just for anybody who wants to support.
Yes.
Not necessarily that you're in a domestic violence relationship.
If you just want to look cute and put on a gorgeous purple gown, if you're
a
couple.
The attire purple?
Yes. So the attire is purple. It's cocktail formal. And so people come out in fabulous gowns, fabulous cocktail attire. Men, don't put on a purple suit. Just, you know, get you a cute purple bow tie or a nice tie to accent the color. It's an awesome night to come out as a couple. Mm-hmm. And so we do have discounted rates for couples. We also have VIP tables where you're going to get, you get all these awesome perks.
But
one thing I like about the VIP is, all the VIP tables get their own bottle of Vinique. That's the purple. Drink that is sponsoring this year. Mm-hmm. Very, very beautiful cocktails. And we'll be serving those too. That's going to be the signature drink this mm-hmm. year. So purple. Just come on out. October 3rd, 2015, www.thepurpleaffair.eventbrite.com.
And get a VIP ticket.
Yes.
I love VIP. I just always want to feel like a VIP. I've purchased some VIP tickets before and I didn't feel like a VIP. I'm just putting that out there.
The other thing I want to mention before we go, if you are in a domestic violence situation and you need help, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and their number is 1-800-799-7233. Again, it is the National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233, and they're available 24 hours a day.
That is awesome. So make sure that you do that. Or if you know somebody who needs to do that, tell them to do that. They are way too beautiful, too smart, too much to go through a relationship where someone's putting them down, putting their hands on them. Just too much. And one more thing. Congratulations on your marriage. December. What is this? Is that how?
So we're going on 9 months.
September.
Yes. We got married 12, 13, 14 at 15, 16. Oh. So I had to really throw that
get
out there.
Get out of here.
We're
12,
big on
13,
numbers.
14. I like numbers too.
Yes.
12, 13, 14 at 15,
yes.
16. Is that 316? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so that is the last sequential date that will ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
You researched that out, huh?
We did. So it's a special day. Yes.
That's awesome. So congratulations on that. I think you're beautiful. You did it. You got out. You went on. I mean, to have this amazing career. And so I applaud you on that. And I thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. Was there anything else that you wanted to say before I close?
Well, to the ladies and to the gentlemen, just one more thing. I just loved, this is one of my favorite quotes. Be who you were created to be and you will set the world on fire.
Yes. That's when you can say yes at the end.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening today. Shanda Cadet, your host, creator and founder of Business Babies and Beauty. Send me an email, info@businessbabiesandbeauty.com. If there is something that I can help you with, if I can help you get your life balanced, if I can help you start a business. Again, I have three of them and I do it all with my six children. So you can do it, too. You listened to Tamiko today, but you just get through it. Don't be afraid. If there's something that you want to do, do it. Write it down. Write everything down. Start to make a plan. Everything needs to be planned out, but I can help you with that. Just send me an email and I can help you with that. So I want everyone to have an awesome day today. Today is Wednesday. Do something great. As a matter of fact, something great is going to happen for you today. I was saying that on my right here today. Something awesome is going to happen. And if you just wake up every day thinking that, feeling that, knowing that, I think it will. I mean, don't expect, you know, $50 million to fall out of the sky. But anything, good news, the email that you wanted, that interview, that whatever it is, just expect it is coming. Just expect great things. Be positive. Keep positive people in your life. Get those negative people out of your life. I could go on and on and on, but you need to just follow me on Instagram for some extra information. Send me that email for some extra information. Just connect with me. Instagram is Business Babies and Beauty. So it's Facebook. Thank you so much. Have an awesome day.
This show is brought to you by Airbender. The freedom of knowing the problem is solved. Your resource for the preventive care of your heating and cooling systems. Learn more at www.airbenderga.com.